This podcast is sponsored by ebookit.com, self-publishing solutions for the independent author and small press. Visit us today at ebookit.com.
Welcome to the Toastmasters Podcast, the official podcast of Toastmasters International.
Hello, everybody. My name is Bo Bennett.
And I'm Ryan Levesque.
And we are your hosts for this program. Today we're going to be speaking with Janelle Thomas about her article in the Toastmasters magazine, the October 2009 edition, to be specific, Speaking of Business, Entrepreneurs Know the Value of Effective Communication. But before we get into that, let's go into our word of the day. Ryan?
The word of the day is Pollyanna, with a capital P. This is a noun. And the word means a person characterized by irrepressible optimism and a tendency to find good in everything. And this word, Pollyanna, is based on the character in the 1913 American novel in which the main character is excessively optimistic.
I did not know that.
Yes.
And, of course, what Ryan and I have to do is try to work that word in the interview. And if we can't, well, we'll just cross that bridge when we get there.
Janelle Thomas, competent communicator, is a member of the Lillian R. Bradley Toastmasters Club in Jacksonville, Florida. She's the editor and publisher of Entertainment Wire, an online entertainment media site. Janelle Thomas, welcome to the Toastmasters Podcast.
Welcome, right, Janelle.
Thank you for having me.
It is great to have you with us today. And we are speaking today about the importance of speaking and clear communication in a business context. And one of the first things I wanted to ask you about is something that you talk about in your article. You say that entrepreneurs can't always look for other people to toot their own horn for them, and that they need to learn to speak gracefully of their own abilities and accomplishments. So I'm wondering, Janelle, if an entrepreneur had approached you and said, I want to learn how to do this better, to speak about my products, my services, my company, my accomplishments, without sounding boastful or conceited, what advice would you give them?
Well, the advice I would give them is to practice. A lot of it has to do with practice. When it comes to businesses and acquiring clients, I look at that as being a lot like interviewing for a job. You know, job seekers, they have to find a way to explain what they can do without sounding like they're above everyone else, but they want everybody to know what they can do, especially the employer. Mm-hmm. So they have to position themselves as being of service to the employer. So I think that's the best rule of thumb for entrepreneurs. Position yourself as being of service to potential clients and the public in general, and I think they'll have a positive result.
That's an interesting idea. So maybe the positioning of service adds a little bit of humility to the approach, would you say?
Yes. And people will receive it a lot better.
Okay, good.
So let's do an example here, Ryan.
All right.
So if I were to say, for example, I'm an incredible programmer, that would come out as probably just boastful, right? But if I were to say, my incredible programming skills could certainly help benefit your company.
Or perhaps something along the lines of, I would love the opportunity to build an incredible program for your company.
Sure.
What do you think of that? It's you know, it's
That's really good. And then after that, you could outline, you know, how you would go about doing it. And it helps to know something about the particular company that you're going to be programming for, and just outline, you know, this is what I know about your company, this is how my services will help your company.
Right.
So that way you can kind of smooth it in there, and they can accept it and receive it as you being of service to them, as rather than just saying, I can do this, I can do that, and, you know, it's
sure.
a lot more positive.
Like, or a little addition to that, I would love the opportunity to build an incredible program for your company, like I did for Harvard University.
Oh, there you go.
Ah.
There you go. Examples. There you go.
All right.
That'll get their attention.
I think we're getting it, Janelle. We're getting it.
I understand now.
Janelle, when most people who are not members of Toastmasters think of Toastmasters, I think you would agree with me, the first thing that comes to mind, if they're familiar with the organization, is public speaking. But yet you talk about in your article the importance of, or the way that developing public speaking skills can also concurrently develop interpersonal skills, networking skills. Could you talk a little bit about that and what the connection between the two skill sets is?
Well, I think the good thing about Toastmasters is that it allows you to continue to practice and develop public speaking skills. And I think with that practice, you become more confident overall, and this translates into your everyday communication. Mm-hmm. So you may have habits such as not enough eye contact or et cetera, but after consistent practice in giving speeches and participating in table topics, you'll find yourself more at ease when you're meeting new people and you're able to communicate with them better. And the great thing about all of this is that it tends to happen without you really knowing it.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, after continuous practice, you look up one day and say, hey, you know, that wasn't so bad. You know, once you're out and you're meeting new people, you're more confident in your ability to relate to them.
Right. Also in networking, generally when you do network, especially at any kind of events, you're in groups, like not large groups like you would give a speech, but small groups, maybe like 3, 4, or 5 people. And in these situations, most people who are not comfortable with public speaking just tend to zip up and stay quiet because they don't want to speak in front of this small group. But that's where, of course, Toastmasters comes in and helps out.
Yeah, there's always the opportunity before and after the meeting for some mingling and small talk, and that's a great opportunity to practice those skills.
Sure, and throw in a good joke or two.
Exactly.
Make them laugh.
You get to test that out in a Toastmasters meeting. When you get up to do table topics, you get about 2 minutes to respond to a question or a word or a phrase, and then you have your opportunity to practice your joke and see, you know, how funny you really are.
So, Janelle, you're an entrepreneur yourself, are you not?
Yeah, I guess you could put it that way.
And you're, as I said earlier, that you're the editor and publisher of an online entertainment media site. Could you share with us a little bit about how your business venture has been helped by your communication skills or your experience in Toastmasters?
Well, I have to communicate quite a bit as a result of the website, written as well as verbally. And written has to do with maybe if I'm doing a review of a concert or something, I would have to write that and put that on Entertainment Wire. But when it comes to verbal communication, that comes in when I'm arranging interviews with authors, comedians, actors, and singers. And it also comes in when I'm interviewing these people. So I think sometimes improving public speaking skills helps me create better questions for them when I'm interviewing, just to really try to get the best out of them. So,
And how do you do that? What are some of the skills that you use to really elicit the responses that are going to have meaning and interest to your audience? And I ask this partly from a selfish standpoint because
I was going to say, Ryan, are you asking or interviewing question advice?
Because
you might be able to help
Bo and I.
I try to know as much as I can about them. Like, I think once I interviewed a singer, her birthday had just passed, and I started out, you know, saying, well, you know, happy belated birthday. And, you know, then you can ask them, you know, well, you know, how was your birthday? Did you have to work? And just kind of make it kind of conversational in between the questions to try to, you know, get them in a positive mood and then start asking them the questions and follow up with certain answers, just like you guys are doing.
Hey, Janelle, did you have a birthday recently?
Actually, I did, August 25th.
All right.
Wow, happy birthday. That's great.
Thank you.
We'll skip the whole part where we ask you about it in the interest of time. Moving on.
Okay.
So, Janelle, something that an entrepreneur will inevitably face in the course of their business career is having to deliver bad news or an unpopular message. Maybe it's to an employee, perhaps a customer, maybe a boss in the workplace. Could you give any advice for someone who is in that situation to help them effectively deliver the bad news without completely spoiling the relationship?
Yeah, well, I find in situations like that, when you have to deliver unpopular, you know, messages or news, it can be particularly stressful, largely due to handling different types of personalities. So when delivering those type of messages, the best thing, I think, is to stick to the facts and keep the tone in the middle range, you know, as middle as possible, not too high up, not too low down, just kind of in the middle while you're delivering the facts and you stick to the facts. So I think Toastmasters members can practice this in their own meetings when they're speeches. One thing about Toastmasters is there's a variety of speeches, and it helps members learn how to be more conscious of their tone and their delivery, and evaluators are very helpful in providing feedback for that. So if they, you know, if they're too loud or too high, then they get the chance to hear about that in the Toastmasters meetings. Kind of supportive environment. So
sure. Janelle, have you ever had any experiences where you're presenting in a business context and things maybe didn't go as well as you hoped, maybe even bombed the presentation?
Well, probably to some degree, but you know what, actually, what comes to mind more so about as far as a bad presentation is really just the personal experience I had. Well, I wasn't really delivering the presentation. I was the one who was having the presentation delivered to me.
Ah.
This is really interesting. A few years ago, I needed to purchase a new car.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to a dealership where I was greeted by a salesperson, and I told him the type of car that I wanted and my price range, and he proceeded to show me cars that were out of my range. So when I tried to tell him that it was out of my range, he said that, well, if I show you a good car at a fair price, would you be interested? Or would you like to see it? And then the presentation just went downhill from there.
When you say the presentation went downhill, in terms of quality of the content or his delivery?
It was not so much the content. He was very knowledgeable about the car.
Okay.
But it was just like sell. He was trying to get me to buy the car that he had picked out for me, I guess you could say, versus really listening to what I was saying, what I was saying that I wanted.
Right.
The one with the high profit margin.
Yeah. Like, look at the color and the texture, and oh, see the way it drives. And
this is the car for you.
Yeah.
I just met you 5 minutes ago, but I know that this is the car for you.
I can tell. You've got that little special something that only drivers of this car have.
Right. So, you know, but when I say downhill, I mean, like, at that point, I wasn't really listening to him so much because I knew that that wasn't what I wanted. So he tried to sell me more than I wanted, and he didn't recover from that. As a matter of fact, other salespeople tried to come in and intervene and recover for him, but they ultimately lost my sale. And I just went down the street to purchase a brand from another dealer,
mm-hmm.
which is a shame because I really like that brand of cars. So I think that's probably the presentation that stands out to me the most.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think we could all tell stories of speakers that we've seen in a business setting that were talking about like a product, a service, a cause, or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And if the speaker is not a good speaker, you tend to, I guess you tend to link their lack of confidence in their speaking ability to the lack of confidence in their product,
or service. Yeah.
And it, which is a terrible thing if you think about it, because you could be 100% sure and confident in your product and love it to death, but if you're a horrible speaker and you don't have that confidence, and it will show in your public speaking, then people will just mistake that for the fact that you don't believe in your product.
Right.
Yeah, I think the other thing that I see in Janelle's example here is that the presenter in this situation, the salesperson, was not practicing good listening skills. If he had been listening, he would have known this particular car was not of interest to Janelle,
mm-hmm.
but that there were several other options, or I'm guessing at least one other option on the lot that would have met her needs. So that there's the not only what you're communicating out, but what you're taking in.
Sure.
And how that's influencing what you're saying.
Sure. Yeah, and since
exactly. And that's to me, that's another benefit to Toastmasters. You know, not only get to practice your public speaking skills, but listening skills as well.
Right.
You know, when you're serving in different roles like Ramirez and evaluator, you know, that those are times to listen to improve those particular skills. And yeah.
Right, and specifically in your article, you mentioned the whole idea of effective communication. And you could take communication and you could wrap up the public speaking and the other skills in there. Already we talked about, we mentioned listening skills, we mentioned networking. Some things that we didn't go over that I think could certainly fit into this is getting to the point, learning how to, when you're communicating in a business situation, Toastmasters certainly helps you condense your 10-minute thought into a 2-minute table
focus
topic,
it.
Right?
Yeah.
Focus it and get to the point. I know that that has been a huge help for me. And asking for what you want, Toastmasters gives a lot of people the confidence to ask what they want for it in a business situation. Of course, that is huge. And also effective persuasion. We even have a manual on that, don't we?
Yes, there is a manual on that, yes.
Have you done that manual yet, Janelle?
No, but I do have it, so I will be getting to it at some point. But yeah, that is one of the manuals.
Well, you know what they say, having it is half the work.
That's right.
I'm working on a different manual. I have two manuals, so I'm in a different one. That's my next manual. So.
Which one are you working on, by the way?
Public relations.
Oh, okay.
Very good.
Yeah. That's good.
It's great for business.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very helpful.
All right. Any final thoughts on this or anything you want to leave our listening audience with about this topic?
Well, basically, my final thoughts are that Toastmasters can be very beneficial to everyone. I think the beauty of Toastmasters is that once you finish your first 10 speeches, you know, that's where they teach you the basics, such as vocal variety, body language, and visual aids. But once you get past that first manual, you're able to choose what you want to learn next. If it's one-on-one sales calls you need to master, you would probably look at the persuasive manual where there's a project on cold calls. So.
Mm-hmm.
Toastmasters really does allow any of its members to grow in whichever direction they choose to grow in. So I think that makes it a really wonderful organization to be a part of.
Well said.
Absolutely. Definitely.
All right. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to be with us. We appreciate it. And where can people find out more about you again?
Oh, with the Toastmasters Club or the...
Anywhere. Give us both.
Okay. Entertainment Wire is www.btwireonline.com. And for the club, because it's club2346.freetoasthost.com.
All right, so if anybody's in the Jacksonville, Florida area and they want to stop by and see you, they could just hang out at your club for a day or so.
Oh, absolutely.
Even though the club probably just meets
open
for
arm.
Right.
Great.
All right. Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure speaking with you, Janelle.
Thank you, Janelle.
Same here.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
If you heard our sponsor message at the beginning of this podcast, you might be wondering, what is this PowerPoint karaoke thing all about? PowerPoint karaoke is a fun way to practice improv speaking skills and poke a little fun at PowerPoint abusers in the process by presenting slides to the audience that you have never seen before. Amation is sponsoring this PowerPoint karaoke contest and will send a special PowerPoint karaoke starter kit to any Toastmaster who wants to host an event. Videos of the PowerPoint presentations will be voted on and will be eligible for the national grand prizes of up to $5,000 in cash. Events must take place before October 31st in order to qualify for the national contest. For details and to sign up as a host for one of these events, visit PowerPointKaraoke2009.com. Alrighty, that is our episode for this week. If you do have any listener feedback, you could contact us by sending an email to podcast@toastmasters.org.
Or you could call our listener feedback line at 1-888-451-8862. You have up to 2 minutes to leave us your feedback. And please don't feel you need to be a Pollyanna as you leave your feedback. You can certainly leave both positive comments as well as critical feedback.
Well played, Ryan.
Thank you.
And you can also get in touch with us by finding us on Twitter, twitter.com/theTMPodcast. And don't forget to find us on our website, toastmasterspodcast.com. That's where you could post directly right on our blogs beneath the episode. So for this week, my name is Beau Bennett.
And my name is Ryan Levesque.
Bye-bye, everybody.
Isn't it about time you published that book you've been thinking about? We can help with that. At ebookit.com, we've been providing authors and small presses with ebook publishing services since 2010. Visit us today at ebookit.com and let us know how we can help you.